Hey guys, welcome back to another fabulous episode of In Your Head with yours truly, Chris Medina. Man, oh man, do I have an episode for you today. But before I get into it, there's a bit of a tiny disclaimer that I'm going to put out there. This episode is in no way, shape, or form bullying. It is in no way, shape, or form going at individuals for no reason. In no way, shape, or form is this dirt slinging in the eyes of these people for no fucking reason. For those of you that know me and have been rocking with me since the very beginning and know my personality and know who I am, there's one thing that you know straight up about me, and that's me being straight up and direct. I have no time for bullshit, and I have no time for the hokey love and light bullshit. I've said that repeatedly on this show, so you guys know what the fuck I'm about. You guys know what you're getting when I walk through that fucking door. This is not coming, and this is the last motherfucking time that I'm going to say this is not coming from a place of pride or ego, because goddammit, I'm going to start using my pride and I'm going to start using my ego in a very positive way, because motherfuckers don't seem to get the point sometimes. Again, it's not an angry episode. This will all make sense as we go further into today's episode. But before I get to all the juicy stuff, I want to start the episode off by showing some major fucking love. And the love goes out to my girl, my Capricornian girl, 10th House Magic. 10th House Magic donated some of the most beautiful pieces for Transformation 2020 that blew my fucking mind. The love and support from somebody that I've never, ever met. Sarah's never met this person. You've never met this person, Jay. Sent love through the mail, and it was fucking received. I know that's the gayest thing that I've ever said, but it is true. Some of the most beautiful fucking pieces I've ever seen, and I don't rock metaphysical jewelry. Mm-hmm. It's too gaudy.
They're gorgeous.
Beautiful. Tailor-made. I had a Taurus piece. You had a Cancer piece. Beautiful crystals. Nothing too gaudy. Beautifully done. For those of you looking for beautiful pieces to rock. Mm-hmm. You guys are into crystals. You guys are into clearing your energy. I really wish I had this on the entire time, but I was so busy that I didn't look at mine until almost the very end of the retreat.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure it would have helped out in a major fucking way. But thank you so much, 10th House Magic, for donating your pieces and just making the event a beautiful event and showing love.
Yeah.
The love and support that you've sent in that box was amazing. So thank you, thank you, thank you. For those of you that want to know more about 10th House Magic, look them up on my Instagram page. Follow them. See what they're about. Maybe they can send some love your way, right?
That's good.
It is.
That's good.
Let's jump into today's episode. I want to start from the very beginning. Yalapa Transformation 2020 was not a complete bust. I've said this over and over again, that the retreat that we did in Joshua Tree back in September, I know it was for the people that paid to be there, but I got so much more out of it, and I'm going to be selfish here, than I think some of them did.
Mm-hmm.
It was just eye-opening this time. Again, the clarity, the insight, the transformation, and the release was more than I expected.
Oh, for sure.
That water taxi was exactly how I pictured it to be. Sarah, fucking Sarah Fruman. Oh my God. I know that JoJo, my girl out there in Florida, wanted video. Mm-hmm. Everybody wanted video of me on this fucking water taxi. I told Sarah's ass before she started filming, make sure you get me at good angles. My J-Lo diva shit came out, and is there really a good angle for anybody that's seasick?
I didn't know you were seasick. You didn't say anything. No, you didn't tell anyone you were seasick.
Oh, let's start from the very beginning. We get into Mexico. Mm-hmm. We get on the plane. And I posted, we were at LAX. Oh. It was time to bring the masks out.
Yeah.
Those Bane masks from Batman. We bought those the day before we were going.
Uh-huh.
Because this fucking coronavirus, this fucking whatever it is going around. First of all, I fucking hate traveling in airports like that.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. There's too many fucking people coughing, sneezing, bunch of boogery kids running around. Just no common decency, no respect for anybody else's health.
Oh, yeah.
Disgusting. Immediately put those masks on. And normally I'd be hesitant. I'd be like, fuck, people are staring. I didn't give a fuck. They were coming on.
Yeah.
I put my mitts on, my little gloves on, and I went ham when it came to protecting myself. Until I remembered your fucking dad telling me that, oh, well, it's airborne, but people are also known to get it through their eyes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I can't wear sunglasses or goggles through the airport. That's just too much. I made do with the mask. People were looking at us, staring at us, wondering what the fuck. You could definitely see my reaction from behind that mask. Mm. And it was that glare, like, what the fuck are you looking at? A couple of people looked, walked away, and came back with their own masks
on. They're like, wow, it's okay to put it on.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't follow the trends. I set them. I'm going to be Kim right now. But that's exactly what the fuck I did. There was a guy that came off the plane that we were getting ready to board, looked at me and you because we were right there at the gate,
mm-hmm.
and was like, fuck, they got their masks on. I'm putting mine on. He reached in his bag, put his mask on, gave me a thumbs up, and walked away.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, protect yourself. There's a lot of dirty ass fucking people there. Got on the plane. It was not a bad ride. 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
At the most, I think.
Yeah.
Smooth flight, get into Mexico. Before we get there, it's cold here in LA. I'm wearing my fucking hoodie, I'm wearing my jeans, I'm wearing my fucking shoes. Get into Mexico and it's 80 degrees, but it's that fucking humidity. I was like, I cannot wait to strip these fucking clothes off. Immediately got off the plane, went through that customs line, did what we had to do, met up with Sarah. Sarah's sitting there having a fucking margarita at the bar. With her 100-pound fucking bag.
It was fucking a huge duffel bag.
I don't know how she did it. She carried that. Sarah brought everything on the plane with her. Or no, she checked it.
She checked it, yeah.
She had candles. She had the goodie bags there. She had 10th House Magic's jewelry line in there for the event. She had everything you could possibly fit in that fucking duffel bag. And it was the size of your body.
No, it can probably fit you in it.
Probably.
Uh-huh.
Probably.
And it only weighed 50 pounds, supposedly.
Supposedly. I don't believe it. It felt like 110 fucking pounds. It was crazy. She's lugging it through, and I was like, and I didn't know how big it was. And let me just tell you guys something. Jay is the worst person to travel with. He is such a fucking diva.
What are you talking about? Roles
would be, I'm going to go there. You would think the roles are reversed with me being gay, you being gay, and me being straight. Because I handle it like a fucking G when I go through the airport. You know that. I'm very much, let's fucking do this. Let's get this done and over with here. I'm trying not to be in a bad fucking mood. Jay prepares himself with those tiny little, looks like Nicorette patches behind your fucking ear to keep him calm. Mind you, we have not smoked weed since December 31st, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Over 30 days sober. Yay. It's fun. I haven't been craving it, but we'll get to that in a second. Traveling with Jay is not a nightmare. It's just very diva-ish or whatever. So I was like, Jay, get Sarah's bag and carry it for her. Did not know how heavy it was or how big it was. And you're looking at me like, holy fucking shit. And I was like, let's just hurry up and go. We left the airport with this 110-pound bag on your shoulder. And we had to walk across the street to get an Uber.
A taxi. We got a taxi.
We were first going to get an Uber. They were like, the Uber thing's across the street. I was like, across that fucking bridge?
Yeah.
But across that bridge, get into like this taco stand and get a taxi. And I forgot that we're in Mexico, so everything's in pesos. So the guy was like, it's going to cost 210 pesos. I was like, 210? And then Sarah's like, it's pesos, not dollars. I'm like, okay, fine. Forgot all about that. Jumped in the taxi, headed off to Puerto Vallarta.
Mm-hmm.
And the fucking ride, the streets are crazy, crazy insane. They drive just the way that I do here in LA, but there is no lines on the road and you don't know what lane is yours or where the fuck you're going. Or
it's free for all.
It's a free for all. It's a fucking shit show. So the taxi driver takes us to Puerto Vallarta. We check into our hotel. It was a beautiful hotel.
Yeah.
It was nothing too fancy and it wasn't a shithole.
Mm-hmm.
Right there on the beach, restaurants galore on the side of us, checked in. Immediately stripped, got into beach clothes. I actually wore shorts, you guys, and decided we were going to go have dinner.
Mm-hmm.
First night together, me, you, and Sarah, we decided to get there a day ahead of time just so we had time to decompress, figure out how we were going to do the retreat, and just kind of schedule each other.
Mm-hmm.
We went and had dinner on the beach. It started to rain.
Yeah.
Some of the most amazing fucking food ever. And we had a couple of margaritas. They were watermelon margaritas. I've never tasted anything like this. I'm not gassing myself, you guys. When I tell you the fruit there is amazing, it is fucking amazing. It's smaller because it's not GMO'd or fucking like injected with all kinds of fucking crazy shit. So you get to taste the fruit for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. The food was so fucking good. Got a little tipsy. I decided we were going to walk around. There was a gay club across the street from our hotel.
And you jumped right the fuck in.
I wanted to, but I was not trying to get kidnapped on the first night or fucked beyond repair. There was a gay massage place across the street that I was considering going to, but again, didn't want to start it off like that.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up doing the town, fucking having a good time. And then I told Sarah, let's jump in the fucking water.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking 10 o'clock at night over there.
Yeah.
Me and Sarah are in the water swimming. In the fucking ocean, waves crashing on us. Security guard comes and asks you, are we fucking drunk or are we crazy?
Are you guys okay?
Yeah, because nobody else was swimming at night.
It was fucking pitch black. I don't know like why you and Sarah did it.
It was just so freeing. I was like, let's go. I want to experience Mexico for what it is and have a really good fucking time here and do shit that I normally wouldn't do because we're on vacation. Yeah, to me, it was a vacation.
It was a vacation. I couldn't see you half the time out in the water anyways.
It was beautiful. Sarah and I were swimming. We decided to go back. Got to be late. We got tired. Went to bed. The next day was Jalapa.
Mm-hmm.
Went and had a nice breakfast with Sarah. Got on that water taxi. And I was scared shitless. First of all, there's these two girls that are sitting on this moving dock in the middle of the water. And they're jumping in, having a good time. There's people above them, you know, kind of looking at them. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, my fears are finally coming to reality. Here we go. I'm going to die on this fucking speedboat. It's not very organized. And the guy was there. He was, you know, cracking jokes, having a good time. He spoke English. He was kind of keeping it going. But I just wanted to get on the water taxi and get to the fucking island. I wanted to hurry up and do it. Sarah's fucking taking pics of me. Like I said, with these fucking angles of hers. I was like, could you make me look any fucking fatter. I look like Fat Bastard from Austin Powers. She turns around. She's like, Chris. And I'm all, ugh. All fucking 20 of my chins are in the fucking picture. She manages to get me where I look like I'm fucking Coco, Ice-T's wives. My tits look so fucking big. I'm like, over that fucking life vest. Got on the fucking boat. Made our way out there. The fucking water is choppy as fuck. The guy is going through the waves like crazy. Our asses are slamming on these fucking wooden seats. Then all of a sudden, he's like, oh, look, there's a whale. And stops a fucking boat in the middle of the ocean. In the water, it looks dark. To me, it looked dark. I was sitting on the edge of it. I was like, Jesus Christ, can we just move it the fuck along? I've seen whales on TV. I know what they look like. I don't want that motherfucker to get anywhere near the boat and swallow us. I kept thinking of Pinocchio, and I kept thinking of, like, you know, that scripture in the Bible where the guy, like, rides in the whale's mouth. I don't know. All this stupid shit. I was thinking, what if this... And he was like, oh, they're mating, so they get really aggressive. I'm all, great asshole. This fucking whale's going to smack its tail across the boat. We're all going to go flying out. This is going to be my death. Didn't happen, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Saw the whales. They were beautiful.
They were
really, really close up.
Mm-hmm.
Finally make our way towards the island, and it's a good half-hour ride.
Yeah.
It's a good half-hour ride from Puerto Vallarta to Jalapa.
Mm-hmm.
Pull up to the island, and it is small. It's a small, secluded island right off of Puerto Vallarta.
Mm-hmm.
And true to the itinerary that Sarah sent, we ended up not docking on a dock, and we pulled up right to the shore, and there was just a little bit of water. It was just puddle deep. Jumped off the boat, got our shit. Here's where it gets interesting. Thank God we did not have a lot of luggage or had luggage with wheels on it.
Or weighed 100 pounds.
Oh, Jesus. Because we had to walk. No, we had to hike.
Yeah.
Thank you. You looked at me like you mean hike. We had to hike from the dock all the way up to the Pura Vida Retreat Center.
Mm-hmm.
And this is along the side of the coast, along the side of the water. If the tide was high, it would have knocked you off the side of the
rocky
terrain right there, mm-hmm. the little pathway there. We're going through trees, we're on stone, then we're on dirt, then we're on water. We finally get all the way up to the retreat center. this thing looked like a fucking Mayan temple. Like, it was sitting on top of a Mayan temple. There were so many different layers and different stairs that led all the way up to the rooms. When I say stairs, you guys, my ass, I should have a fucking J-Lo ass right now, because so many stairs, so much walking and so much climbing. We check in. We get our room. There was a mix-up with the rooms, mm-hmm. but that was taken care of.
Yeah.
We had one of the most beautiful rooms in the retreat. It was enclosed. It had air conditioning because I was not going to have a room that had just bug nets in it.
Yeah.
There was no fucking way, because I was afraid I was going to get bit up. We checked in. We saw people that were part of the retreat that were there already. Kate was there with her boyfriend. They were sitting in the jacuzzi. I immediately saw them, walked up to them, showed them some love,
mm-hmm.
and was telling her, I'm so excited for my one-on-one with you.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, we're here. Hugged her, hugs and kisses. The lady at the retreat center made juice, the agua fresca. It was like some sort of like,
it's lime. Like watermelon and something.
Yeah, right? With like basil in it or whatever. So it was really good. Asked Kate and the boyfriend if they wanted some. Got them a glass of it. And showed love.
Oh, for sure.
Let's rewind here for a second. Every episode where I talk about the retreat, I talk about the practitioners. There was two changes in the lineup. From one of the original astrologers to a new one that couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
They were sick or something. There was something wrong with them. To a new person that was part of Kate's crew.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys, how many times on this show have I shown love to what Kate does? I don't practice yoga. I'm not a yogi. I'm not a yoga head. I respect it. And I respect her technique. I've said over and over on my show that I need to experience her one-on-one, that I don't have the attention or the focus, especially when I'm getting into something brand new, to have a crowd around me.
Mm-hmm.
Because she gets you to the point where you're zen. I'll give her that. And I've said that over and over again on the show. But somebody will cough, or you yoga heads do a lot of this. A lot of releasing. And to me, not shitting on yoga. That's what you guys do. But it sounds like a fucking contest on who could be the loudest.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that.
It just snaps you right at the back.
It snaps me right back into my body.
Yeah.
And I lose the focus.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I've said over and over again, I want to experience her one-on-one. Before we did the retreat, she reached out and said, I'm going to be seeing you soon, sir. Looking forward to it. I said, me too. Cannot wait to have my one-on-one with you. Saw her in the fucking jacuzzi. Can't wait to have my one-on-one with you. Was cordial to her boyfriend and kept it moving.
Mm-hmm.
We check in. The room is fabulous. Lunch is immediately served at 1 o'clock, which was a hike. They make you really, really work for your food up there.
It's like on the top floor every time.
Of the retreat. Beautiful fucking retreat. Yeah. Let's talk about the positive stuff first. Beautiful retreat. The most gorgeous butterflies I have ever seen in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
There was this one butterfly that was black and had like magenta on its wings. Beautiful. My favorite butterfly out of all of them. And there were so many different ones. So many different little creatures running around. There was a lot of fucking ants because we're out in the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different birds. There was some that looked like fucking pterodactyls. They were fucking huge. I was like, Jesus. There was a lot of reptiles, like iguanas.
Mm-hmm.
None of you guys noticed the iguana that was hanging out behind the picture until I showed you.
Yeah.
That motherfucker was huge.
It was.
It was this big black iguana. The people, I'm going to throw some shit in my eye on today's episode. I am so fucking embarrassed, you guys, that I don't speak Spanish. And I am steady going to take a Spanish class. I'm not lying. Because I felt so fucking embarrassed to not be able to speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
In my home country.
They looked at you like, what the fuck?
I'm not from Mexico. My mother is not from Mexico. Her mother's not from Mexico. My great-grandmother is from Mexico. I was never brought up to speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
My mom didn't speak Spanish. My grandmother spoke Spanish, but she never talked to us kids in Spanish. She never talked to my mom in Spanish. So I never had that around me. And I had got a lot of shit growing up because I wanted to hang out with the Mexicans, but I wasn't too Mexican for them.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't enough Mexican. And I couldn't hang out with the whites because I wasn't white.
Yeah.
So I was kind of stuck. Me and my good friend, my best friend growing up, didn't speak Spanish either, and she was Mexican. And that's how we clicked up, because we were like, we're it's just you and I. And so the staff of the retreat center, Pura Vida, mm-hmm. were amazing. Some of them spoke English, some of them didn't. The ladies that were upstairs cooking, that made all the food, love those ladies. Immediately was warm to them. They're just, they felt like mothers or something. Mm. And a couple of them threw shit in my eye because I couldn't speak Spanish. And I had told somebody that was on the retreat, can you please translate for them that I am so fucking embarrassed that I can't speak the language and I'm Mexican. And they were like, well, you better go home and you better learn. And I was like, you're right. So we made friends with them. Of course, I'm going to gravitate towards anybody that can cook. They made some of the most flavorful vegetarian dishes on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So fucking good. And I kept teasing them because there was no meat. It was a vegetarian menu. And I kept and I know those girls ate meat. Oh, yeah. I know that they had their own shit they brought in. And I was like, where's the chorizo? Where's the bacon? Where's the meat? And they were like, oh no, you guys are crazy. It's all vegetarian here. We don't have that. I was like, I know. And just immediately, you know, struck up a conversation with them. Made friends with them. And lo and behold, one of the ladies' name is Lupita. She made salsa that they were eating in the corner over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had asked her during the retreat, I was like, oh, is there chili? Is there salsa? And she was like, oh no. And then she comes and she goes, but I do have some that I made for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, she goes, do you want to try it? She's like, but it's really hot. And I was like, yeah, I want to try it. I opened my big fucking mouth and everybody saw that I was putting chili or salsa on my food. And they were like, where'd you get that?
Yeah.
It was a fucking hit. Her salsa was beyond fucking amazing. So she kept having to make batches of it for our retreat because we kept eating it.
Mm-hmm.
Food was amazing. The hotel was the retreat center was amazing. I met some really, really good people that were from different retreats that were there that just struck up conversation. It was a very much a community type dinner setting where different retreats. It was like a lunch area,
yeah,
where everybody was that was part of the retreat center can come up and have dinner and have breakfast and have lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to meet different people from different parts of the country, out of the country, across the world. There, amazing time. So. We immediately get up there. God, I'm just jumping around here, but I'm going to tie it all in here. We get up to the retreat center. We introduce everybody to everybody. Everybody shows up. Again, you guys, keep this in mind. I'm not shit talking. There was the three other practitioners that were there, the astrologer, Kate, and her boyfriend. And I can read cues. You didn't have to be a psychic to see that there was some distance between them and us. And I'm going to be truthful here. And I'm not an ass slicker. We're all adults. I walked in. I waved. I said hi to everybody. I made myself available to everybody there. Now, keep in mind, I didn't want to have too much of a deep conversation with anybody the first night there because I had to read everybody throughout the entire time we were there.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept it light. I kept it fun. And I kept it funny. Mm-hmm. As people were arriving, everybody was sitting down. We had a really, really good time getting to know one another, talking about my ability, talking about what I do, talking about the show, talking about what I plan on doing here, and kept it moving. Again, it's me, you, Sarah, and everybody else on one side, and then maybe a couple of people over there with the other practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't say hi. They didn't make it a point to come out of their way. And people could say, well, Chris, you could have done the same thing. When I walk up and I say hi and I wave at everybody and I smile at everybody, that's me saying hi.
You did talk to everyone.
And again, I don't know what I did. I don't give a fuck because if you can't come and tell me straight up, you're probably not somebody I want to fuck around with anyway. Because I'm not into fucking guessing games here. And the last thing I want to do is start off the retreat by exposing you. Let's keep it moving, okay? Night starts to come to an end. We have dinner. Again, an amazing fucking dinner. Sit down with a couple of people. It starts to wind down. Everybody starts going to bed. And the night owls start to come out. Me, you, Sarah, a couple other people, the astrologer.
Mm-hmm.
And I start talking to the astrologer. He starts warming up. He makes his way, comes toward us. I was like, okay, you're going to meet me halfway. I'll meet you halfway. Start talking to him. And I was like, heard so many great things about you. My go-to is astrology. Heard you talking about backpacking. And we start going into the conversation. He backpacked from Mexico all the way up to Canada.
Yeah.
It took him 5 months. And I was intrigued because I was like, you're gay. I'm gay. I can't fucking do it. You are just, I bigged him up.
It was an amazing story.
It was an amazing fucking story. And he went with his partners. And when I say partners, I'm talking about lovers.
Mm-hmm.
He was involved in a relationship with these two people. And I was, you know, me, I'm such a fucking pig. I want to start cracking up or whatever. And I was like, oh my God, what was that like going with your lovers there? Because you're backpacking. I said, what about showers and like the bathroom? He's all, nature is your bathroom.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, horrible. And because that's not me. I'm not that type of fucking gay. And I was laughing and we're just having a good time just getting to know one another. And no flirting. Nothing like that. Mm-hmm. It was just a open conversation, yeah. Communication. And so we started making fun of each other, just kind of, you know, talking shit. And then it started to get to a more serious tone. And he asked for a reading.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, are you sure? And he said, yes. I said, I don't want to overstep my boundaries from practitioner to practitioner. So feel free to jump in and call bullshit at any time. For those of you that I've read, you guys know that's my motto all the time. Feel free to jump in and call bullshit at any time. Gave him the reading. I'm not going to go into specifics about it. It hit home. He was crying. It was good. Lightened that reading up with more laughing, more having a good time, talking about me going out to Boulder and possibly hooking up and, you know, doing something on the side over there.
Mm-hmm.
And just, or just meeting for drinks, whatever the case may be. Hugs, kisses. Next day, meet up for breakfast. I get ignored again. And I knew that this person was going to go back and tell the other two people, Kate and the boyfriend, about the reading.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason why I'm mentioning her name here is because everybody saw what went down. And I'll get to all that in a second. They sat again on the other side of the table, didn't say shit. This time I'm like, fuck you. That's it. Like, I can't do this fucking gay shit. I can't do this fucking crybaby ass bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna fucking do it. If you have a fucking problem, say something to me. But bitch, you asked for it. And supposedly I didn't tell you anything you didn't already fucking know.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Not gonna fucking do it this time. Let it go. Had a good time. Had my first reading, which was an amazing reading. Loved the first person that I read. And kept it moving. I had 4 readings that day. A good majority of my people, and when I say my people, I'm talking about my audience, my clients, or people that wanted to see a psychic, did not go. And I'm not shitting on Sarah for this event, but it was so close to the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
We had Thanksgiving, we had Christmas, we had the New Year. This ran into the weekdays. And a good majority of my people, they all have jobs.
They got shit to do.
They got shit to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they reach out and it was like, any other time, I would have gone to this. X, Y, and Z. Totally get it. So everybody that was at the retreat was part of Kate's team or crew. They were specifically there for the yoga.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it seemed like to me. No harm, no foul. Later on during the day, I read more people. And there was somebody that I read that immediately was defensive. And I love this. And not outing anybody. I'm simply just giving my version again. Last time I'm going to make excuses for it. And this person was like, you're not telling me anything that I don't already know. I've heard this before. I've gone through the healing. I've done this. I've done that. Now, rewind prior to that reading. I'm watching the mannerisms of this idiot and watching how she's treating people. And there's one person in particular that she was disrespectful to. Kept it going. Ain't my pig, ain't my fucking farm. But I'll be goddamned if anybody treats me like that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, ain't my fucking problem. Forward back to her reading, and she's getting irritated. And I said, you want to go there? Let's go there. You're coming across as a big fucking badass? You could take this. My question to her, and I want everybody to listen to this here. If I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know, if I'm telling you shit that you already know, if you've gone through the healing, and you are aware of this, and you've worked through this, my question to you is, why are you still a miserable fucking bitch?
Why is it still the problem?
Why is it still a problem? And their response was, this is how I heal. And I said, that very well may work for you, and that very well may be true in your fucking head or the way that you think about it, but I've watched you be disrespectful and be shitty. Your issue is that you want people that you're close to or that you're in a relationship with to feel the same way that you feel. The minute they're having a good time, you got to snap them back to your world and remind them, but I'm still hurting here. pay attention to me. I'm not laughing. That's because you choose not to. You choose to be a miserable fucking bitch because you don't know any better. And you want to make that person feel bad for having a good time and connecting with other people. Because again, you're so miserable. That person will never, never, ever understand what it's like to be you because they're not you. And what you're doing is very punishing to that person. Now, I'm not speaking on behalf of the person that's being punished, because that's a problem that they have as well, where they're allowing this dumb fuck to treat them that way. Ain't my pig, ain't my fucking farm. When I leave here, that's going to be your issue, not mine. But you want to start talking shit, and you want to start acting like you're a big badass with this, I'm so intuitive, I'm so psychic, I'm so this, but fail to realize what a miserable fuck you are. And I know that sounds harsh, you guys, and I'm going to get to all this shit here, because I've just about had it with this type of mentality. Told her some really good things about herself during the session. My job isn't to break you and take away who you are. And my job is also not to tell you what you want to hear. It's what you need to hear. And people can turn around and say, well, Chris, that's your opinion. You're goddamn right. You chose to come to me for a session. And what you're used to having here is people agree with you and make excuses for your shitty fucking behavior. Not me. Never gonna fucking happen. Again, ended the reading on a more positive note, brought out all the great qualities of this person. Everything intuitive, everything emotional, everything this person has to offer here, and said, you should really start working on this stuff here. I'm not telling you to forget about your past and to be like, that's over and done with. I'm simply telling you, at some point, you're going to have to heal from your past in order to be unchained from it so you could move freer and more freely in your future. So you can have a future to where you're smiling authentically, where you're having a good fucking time, and that doesn't bother you anymore. That was my message.
Mm-hmm.
Had a couple of other readings that day, very similar. There's, again, a couple of people out there that were part of the retreat that were boss bitches in their every fucking day life that are fucking killing it. But again, lack that emotional stuff, lack the human part of them sometimes, the part of them that they forget still exists, that loving side. There was a woman that was very hard. She reminded me of somebody that we know.
Mm-hmm.
And all I wanted to do was see her smile. And I also wanted to remind her of her beauty and that it's okay to be part of the crowd, not a follower, but to enjoy social moments for what they are here, because people really genuinely want to talk to you. They find you intriguing and you're protecting yourself so much that you're putting up this I'm not approachable type energy.
Mm-hmm.
But in all reality, you're very emotional and you're looking for that type of relationship with people.
Mm-hmm.
This person cried, was accepting of the session, and we moved forward. Okay. In between this time, there was some other stuff that was going on, like other outside events that were taking place here. There was a sweat lodge that I made myself available for.
I'm surprised you went to that one.
2 hours of inside of a pizza oven. That's what it looked like, this big brick oven.
Uh-huh.
But I bawled my brains out. And nobody saw because it was so steamy and so sweaty in there that it masked everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it was important for me. My dad told me to go do it. He said, you should try it. And I said, okay. And it was led by an Argentinian woman and a Mexican man. They're shamans who had the most beautiful 8-month-old baby that was there. That was part of the, wasn't part of the sweat lodge, but was part of the event there. And we got to see on a daily basis. And you know, me and babies.
Mm-hmm.
Baby was so beautiful and so smart. Lua was the name of the baby. And I played with her and just, you know, the Argentinian shaman, I forgot her name, trusted me to watch the baby in the sweat lodge and hold the baby before we got started on the ceremony, because they were putting the rocks, these hot fucking volcanic rocks that they've been burning that were completely red from being so hot, into this pit, because they were going to pour water or whatever shit they need to pour on it to make the steam. And I was so worried the baby was going to get burned, so I kept playing with the baby with the little maracas that we had, and the baby was sitting on my lap and having a good time and laughing. Did the sweat lodge ceremony, had a really, really releasing time in there, and was able to connect with myself. And I wanted to snap out of it. There was a time where I was going to tap out. This was like 40 minutes into it. I asked Sarah, what the fuck time is it? And she's like, it's only been 40 minutes. I'm like, how much longer? She's like, we still have like an hour and some change. And I was like, fuck, I don't know if I can do this.
Uh-huh.
And my guide said, you're not here for them. You need to be a part of this. Close your eyes. And I was like, well, give me my confirmation. And I've said this over and over again. My confirmation is this indigo orb that they show me. This orb was so fucking bright. It was more on the purplish side this time around that it just covered my entire vision. And I was like, all right, let's do this. The whole hour went by. No problems. Again, I cried. I released. I let go. And they asked, what do you want to let go of in here? And I said, I want to let go of my insecurity and fear and hesitation, as well as some of the anger. And I'll get to the anger later on here, because I've been saying that over and over again, anger, impatience, frustration. And I'll get to that. So sweat ceremony was amazing. We released, we let go, immediately went up to go see you. Mm-hmm. There was a crab in the room.
Yeah.
And you got a little bit psychic there too. You were like, oh my God, I knew you were coming up. It was just very, it was very freeing for both of us.
It was, yeah, I had an amazing time. Like, I love it there.
It was beautiful. Let's back up a couple days before that. Immediately the first night, I just want to put this in there. The first night, you guys, that we spent in Jalapa in our room, there was a ghost in there.
Mm-hmm.
Not gassing you guys, not doing this for points here, but that fucking ghost picked up my sandal and slammed it on the ground 3 different times. Right when I was on the verge of falling asleep, I did it the first time. I was like, what the fuck was that? Thought it was maybe the woman that was staying upstairs from us slapping a bug, because that's what it sounded like.
Mm-hmm.
I kept it moving, tried to fall back asleep again. It picked up the sandal and slammed it on the ground again. I was like, what the fuck? And I told you, I said, you were sitting on the other side of the room in the other bed. I was like, Jay. And you were like, what? I was like, I think there's a fucking ghost in here.
You sounded pretty panicked.
Of course.
Yeah.
A fucking Mexican ghost on an island that I can't swim off the fucking island, or the ghost of the Amazon. I don't know what the fuck. I was a little bit nervous because that's not my territory. But I didn't feel anything. When I tapped in, I didn't feel anything shady.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of like, it just felt more mischievous than anything. Like, oh, you can hear me, mm-hmm, type of thing.
Yeah. We heard it all right.
The Mexican came out of me. And I'm not even going to embarrass myself, you guys, with repeating what I said in Spanish. But I told it in Spanish, that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
Go. And then I said, por favor.
You rolled your R's like so fucking hard. Yeah. I've never heard you roll your R's so hard before. Yeah.
The Mexican came right the fuck out of me. And it did it one more time, slammed the sandal, and then also decided it was going to play on the chair behind us and start tapping it like it was a fucking drum.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said again, that's enough in Spanish. And then it stopped. Didn't hear from it again after that.
For the whole retreat?
For the whole retreat. So everything's going well. Again, there's all the bullshit going on between the different camps here. There's, again, me and you. Sarah was all over the place doing what she needed to do as far as like being the retreat leader and doing all that shit there. And then there was Kate and her crew. Let's get to the good stuff here. We meet up for a circle. And in this circle, she starts off her honoring the 7 directions.
Mm-hmm.
Or something.
Yeah, her yoga.
Her yoga stuff, yeah. And so I'm a part of this because we're not getting to feelings yet. And so we do the yoga stuff. And again, she brings me to that place. I'm seeing the colors. I'm listening to what she's saying. I'm letting go. I'm even breathing and releasing. A couple of times I gagged because she was like, gagging is a form of letting go or releasing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that. So I was wondering why I was getting nauseous. I'm trying not to get nauseous right now. And so I start releasing. I start seeing those colors. And again, here comes the yoga heads. Or whatever. And again, it's very distracting. We start talking about what we're here for. And this is towards the end of it. I basically read everybody at this time.
Yeah.
Except for one person. And so we start going in the circle. And again, you guys, this is where the truth comes in, or my version of it comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all going around, and Kate decides that she's going to talk about her relationship with her boyfriend. There's a huge age difference there, and that's not an issue. My mother's married to somebody that's young, way younger. I don't have an issue with that. That's not a problem for me. My problem was what was said during this, and this is coming from a practitioner who is about healing people. And she had said, well, there are times where he says stuff to me that triggers me back to my 5-year-old self, and I lash out. Okay. She opened the door, I was in no way, shape, or form trying to be disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
I had a question. And my question to her was, what could his, beep, his age, what could his, we'll say, 27-year-old ass say to you, to your 48-year-old self, that could trigger you all the way back to being 5 years old? You have not healed from your past. It's still very much an issue for you. And you lashing out and saying that it's triggering you back to your 5-year-old self is an excuse to lash out and to be shitty. Everybody heals in different fucking ways. I am not taking away what she thinks she's done as healing for her. But let's be truthful, you guys. You were not healed. And a good majority of you can say, are we ever healed? Good point. Some of us are not going to be able to heal from our past. But when you're a practitioner, or you're somebody that's in the business of healing, helping other people heal, and you're having them heal this way, it's very toxic and damaging. Because it gives them the excuse, like the other bitch, to be a miserable fucking bitch to other people and use the fucking excuse about my past in order to justify your shitty fucking behavior. And I'm not about that. Her boyfriend decided to jump in and be like, well, that's our form of healing. And that's, we learned in blah, blah, blah yoga how to heal that way. And I said, maybe right now is not the time and place to have this conversation. We can do it afterward. Because I knew where this was going to go. Mm-hmm. Even though I initiated it, I wasn't there for that. I could see Sarah's asshole puckering up from across the fucking way. And again, this is her fucking retreat. I was not about to be disrespectful. I wanted to make a point. He said, he kept running his fucking mouth. And I said, let me just stop you right there. You're putting a Band-Aid on the problem. And every time your dumbass says something to trigger her, that Band-Aid falls off and she starts gushing blood again. At what point do we allow this wound to heal so whatever immature or ignorant thing you have to tell her ass does not cause her to lash out or that wound to bleed again? Again, we all heal in different ways. That's not, again, to me, simply my opinion. That's not healing. That's an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
A gentleman next to me who is very philosophical, very much a wanderer, not that he has no direction or place to go, but travels the world in search of different methods of healing and spirituality.
Yeah.
Jumped in and shared a very personal story about himself. And he had mentioned that both of his parents were addicts, or addict, or I think, I don't know if they're still or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that he was very hurt by that growing up and had to deal with all that shit. But he said that he'd gone through the healing. And again, this is his form of healing. We're talking about healing. We're not talking about halfway healing. We're talking about healing, because either you're healed or you're not.
Yeah.
And he had said that he did a lot of work on himself. Different gurus, different spiritual leaders, or people that were in spirituality that helped him work through this process. And he says now when he goes home and he has dinners with them or family dinners, there's no more resentment or pain there. Mm-hmm. That he's able to give and receive love in a very open way. I said, that's healing.
Absolutely.
Shared my story with my mother and said the same thing with my grandmother. My grandmother who had passed over had came to me. I've said the story to you guys before. I had asked, what do I need to do to let go or move forward here before things start to get really, really big and heavy here with my career and my path? My grandmother came in that same night, was like, you need to let go of this resentment and hate and anger that you have towards your mother. And I told you guys, I thought maybe she was dead. She wasn't. And my grandmother said, you need to talk to her. She's not going to apologize. But this is for you, for your peace of mind. Had this conversation with my mother in my dream. Asked her if she wanted to talk about what was wrong. She said, no, I just want to spend time with you. And we spent time in the dream. We talked about my kids. And I woke up and I was healed. I didn't have those feelings there. As much as I wanted to be angry and still hate her, I'm not gassing myself. I'm not trying to make this woo-woo. But those feelings aren't there anymore.
You let that shit go.
And I can talk about my mom in a positive way and talk about the things that we shared and all the funny things. You guys have heard me say what how crazy she was to me, putting hairbrushes in my pillowcase, you know, putting toothpaste on my doorknob, doing weird shit, you know, farting in the store and say, take the blame and stuff like that. I can look back at those things and genuinely laugh and be like, we had some really good times.
Mm-hmm.
That's healing. Again, you guys out there can say, Chris, that's your form of healing. My question to you guys out there is, are you healed if all it takes is for somebody to say something to you that triggers, and I hate that word, that triggers you back to a time in your life where it was painful and you lash out in the present? Is that really healing? My side of that, or my take on that, is you can tell people I'm in the process of healing. But what do you expect is going to happen when you're dating somebody half your fucking age, has the mannerisms and the mentality of a 14-year-old football player? I'm shit-talking. What the fuck do you expect? Everybody was a little shitty towards me, obviously. Again, these are all Kate's people that went. I don't give a fuck if you're shitty to me. And here's where I'm going to use my everyday way of thinking. I never have to see you again after this retreat. I wish you well on your journey. That's saying a lot from me. Because, again, you're full of shit. And I'm sorry that I came in here when you asked for a session with me and told you the fucking truth. And one could say, Chris, that's your truth. Motherfucker, if you were there to witness what was going on, it would be all of our truths.
You burst their bubble.
That was not my intention, was to burst their bubble. They asked what they can do to move forward.
Yeah.
I gave them what they needed to hear.
Mm-hmm.
It may not have been what they wanted to hear. And after that circle was dinner. Only 3 people came down from that circle to come to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them were out there licking their wounds and exchanging notes with each other. Again, I'm a fucking grown-ass bitch. I don't need the validation of anybody, and I certainly don't need to follow anybody down a path of illusion. But that's what they were all doing up there. They were all steady talking shit up there. They all come down. You know me. I'm going to look at them, not in a bad way, but if you got something to say, we're not in high school. We're all supposedly grown-ass fucking adults. I am probably twice your fucking age, same as the other bitch.
Mm-hmm.
You got something to say? Tell me. Quiet. They all decided to keep the peace. They all decided they were going to talk and we were going to have a good time. That just, again, even though I know what's going on behind the scenes, you're a fucking pussy and you're a coward. That's my take. Had dinner with them. One of the people that was part of her crew, I knew, was giving me dirty looks and was also saying shit psychically towards me. I looked at her and said, is there a problem? No, no. And point those fucking eyes in the other fucking direction. Because if you're such a big fucking badass, and you could sit there and you can punish that other poor girl over there, you gotta be woman enough to tell me something. You chose to keep your fucking mouth shut. So for the remainder of the retreat, keep doing that. Keep your fucking mouth shut and don't look in my direction. I'm keeping it real, you guys. That was all said and done. Later on, Kate and her 2 minions decide they're going to go talk to Sarah. Sarah, I'm going to throw you under the bus just a little bit here, baby. And I told you I was going to do this. Back up towards the middle of this retreat, Sarah, steady, because she loves me and she knows that we can have that banter back and forth, steady putting me on blast with everybody about my reading to her.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, when are things going to move for me? You're not giving me, you haven't given me a reading. When are my guides gonna come in and make things happen for me? And I said, Sarah, it's coming. Can you tell them to hurry up? I'm ready. She said that, you guys. A fucking arrow went right through me. And I was like, oh, you fucked up. And forward back to the present time here, or during the retreat, Kate and her minions decide they're gonna go up to Sarah and tell Sarah they felt disrespected that I brought up their relationship and that I had incredible anger issues, that I live too much in the psychic world and I'm not part of the material world, that I'm too psychic, and that her people were going up to her and telling her they felt incredibly disrespected that I did not go to the yoga stuff. Rewind a couple days before when we first got there, they asked, Sarah in her ass asked me in front of everybody, Chris, are you going to do Kate's class this time? And I said, I'm going to try. My problem with doing it is that there's too many people that are a part of this. Steady said it on my show. Steady said it in person. Told Kate's ass this. I want my one-on-one time with Kate. And smiled at the other end of the table at Kate that just rolled her eyes. I don't know what else I could tell you motherfuckers when it comes to that. I'm not a yoga head. I'm not too much of an introvert where I can't be around a lot of people, but I want to know what you do. Because you get me to this point. How many motherfucking times can I tell this over and over again? You get me to a point to where I lose concentration when somebody sneezes or coughs or does the bullshit. That's me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to keep saying it over and over again. But she decided that she was going to throw her people under the bus and say they went up to her and said that they found it incredibly disrespectful that I did not attend the class. Sarah said, Chris, they want to talk to you. Do you mind talking to them? And I said, no, have them come to my room. She says, okay. She goes, I'm going to go get them. And she brought them down and there was a knock on the door and all three of them, the boyfriend, the astrologer, Kate, come into the room. And I'm not going to do the whole let kumbaya type of thing. They start coming in and immediately, oh, wow, what a nice room you have here. Let's get the show on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to talk? Let's do this. Wasn't hostile, but I'm fucking beyond fucking livid that it has to get to this fucking point here where I have to talk to three grown-ass fucking people about shit. They sit the fuck down. They sit on the couch. There's three of them on the couch. There's me and you sitting in the chairs in front of them. We're all sitting across from each other. Kate's a woman. A real woman, not like me. I let her go first. I said, I understand that you have something that you want to say. I'm going to give you the floor, and I'm not going to interrupt you. Go ahead. Well, you know, I found it incredibly disrespectful that you decided to talk about my relationship in the circle. And I think that you're a very angry person. And also, I'm not the only one that thinks that way. A good majority of people had come up to me and had asked me why you're not a part of my yoga stuff. And they found you to be disrespectful towards it. Like you didn't want to participate in it. And I said, okay. And I said, are you done? And she said, yeah. And I said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and speak. Junior decides he's going to puff out his chest.
Mm-hmm.
I may be gay, but I can be.
But you're still a man.
I'm still a man. And I can get just as fucking crazy,
mm-hmm.
if not crazier. It tells me, but before you do that, you're not going to talk over her, you're not going to be angry, and you're not going to cut people off. I said, first of all, you're going to keep your fucking mouth shut, because what you have to say to me is irrelevant. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Shut the fuck up and let me speak. Kate, put my hand up towards the fucking, to Junior, and he sure as hell kept his fucking mouth shut. Again, I'm not trying to come across as big badass here. I'm going to get into this, and this is why I'm so fucking heated. I told her, Kate, how many motherfucking times, this is exactly what I said to her, how many motherfucking times can I tell you about your fucking class? I've told you over and over again on my show, in person, and everybody at the fucking table when we first got here, my reason as to why I have not attended your class. I don't know how many times I have to say it. I'm not about to chase you around and say, can you give me my one-on-one? Can you give me my one-on-one? Because that's what you're looking for. Your problem where you fucked up at was making excuses on my behalf. We're all fucking adults here. What your dumbass should have said was, I don't know why Chris isn't taking it. Why don't you go ask him? But you felt the need to be a mother to everybody. Like you are to this idiot over here and this other idiot over here. And speak on my fucking behalf. That's where you fucked up. So that's your own fucking fault. I said, as far as talking about your relationship in the circle, you opened that can of worms when you made an excuse for lashing out over what this fucking idiot says to you. Whoa, 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 I'm not going to hear you. You're going to sit here or you can get the fuck out. I told him that.
Yeah.
I'm not making you sit here. There's the door. Get the fuck out. You wanted to come here and have a conversation. And I'm not telling you what you want to hear. And I'm not licking your ass like everybody else does. I told Kate, you are a fucking guru. You need the respect and admiration from other people. That's how you get your validation. And that's how you boost yourself up here, is by making yourself bigger in the eyes of other people. But behind the scenes, I see right through you. And that's why I don't fuck with you. And you know that. That's why you don't want a one-on-one with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know I will see you for what you are. But baby, I've seen you since day one. And I kept my motherfucking mouth shut. Every time Sarah asked, what do you think about Kate? I had to bite my fucking tongue because I don't give a fuck what you guys think out there. I'm not going to take that lesson away from her and start talking shit about somebody that she respects. Let that bitch see it on her own. Because what she would do if I told her what was going to happen, Sarah, because I'm going to throw her under the bus, wants to keep the peace with everybody and doesn't like disharmony or discord here. Libra rising. And she gets that joke. And I'm tired. I'm sick and motherfucking tired of making excuses for my mouth and saying I'm just not coming from a place of anger, pride, or ego. Because people seem to mistake that when I say that as accusing myself of having these issues. I do that so nobody else gets offended by what I have to say. And I ain't keeping my fucking mouth shut anymore. Get back to the conversation with Kate. I said, you're a fucking illusion. You're more toxic than anybody I've ever met in my entire life here. I don't believe that. Of course you don't believe that. Big words over there in Mexico was counterproductive. I said, what I'm doing is I'm bringing people the truth and telling them what's holding them back. They go and tell you that I was rude to them or I shattered their hopes. I heard you open your fucking mouth to Sarah about me and people telling you that I broke their hopes. They go over there because you love that shit. Oh, he's the big bad guy. Come over here. Let me take care of you. And those fucking idiots flock to you. Again, I never have to see these people again. They're people that I would never fuck with in my everyday life. You can have them. Junior decides he's going to step in again and say, you know, you're just angry, blah, 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 this. And you're an angry person. You know, you're a bully. And I was like, 3-1? You fuckers thought you were going to come in here and you were going to try to set me straight? That ain't happening. I am twice your fucking age and know more than you do. Do you realize, and this is where I went off. I was like, honey, I'm talking to Junior. Do you realize how you come across? I'm very well aware of how I come across. Then you just love being pathetic. I said, because I don't know any other 27-year-old man that looks to his 48-year-old partner for permission to go to the bathroom, for permission to cut a coconut. That may be how you guys get down. Maybe you're looking for a mother. That ain't my fucking business. But I am not going to take anything that you have to say into consideration because I know who you are. And I know who you are, Kate. Now get the fuck out of here. No, I'm not going. No! Junior said that. I said, then you can fucking sit here because I can dish it up all fucking night. Who's hungry? They keep going on and on about, I'm evil.
You hurt my feelings.
You hurt my feelings. We're telling you that you hurt our feelings. I said, how old are you? I said, what you expected me to do was to bow down. I made myself available to every single motherfucker on this retreat. Yes, these are all your fucking people. But I did not let that sway me from getting to know any of them. And there's a couple of really good people that I made really good connections with that were part of her fucking team. But you decided that the three of you were going to segregate yourselves and separate yourself from the group here. And what you were looking was for me to walk over there and lick your ass. That ain't happening. Let's make another thing fucking straight here. When this retreat's done, you will never hear from me again. I will never think about you again. That's the difference between you and I. Now get the fuck out. And they sat there and they decided they were going to look at me and be like, I don't know what's going on. Go. I don't care. And maybe you guys are going to think this is too hard. I don't give a fuck about your feelings. How you feel is irrelevant to me. What you think or what you have to say is irrelevant to me. It's not going to make any fucking difference in my way of thinking. It's not. So fucking save it. You Jay decided that enough was enough, and you told them to leave. And the astrologer, I love this part, decided he was going to open his fucking mouth after sitting there being quiet the entire time and say, well, Chris, I... Shut the fuck up. Didn't I tell you that I don't give a fuck about what you have to say? You are weak to me. The fact that you look for acceptance in other people and that you can allow yourself to be led by this fucking idiot over here, I've already made my mind up about you. There's nothing that you're going to say that's going to make me like you or that's going to make me look at you different. To me, you're weak. He grabbed his chest. It was very dramatic. We're all human. We're all weak. You be weak, I'm going to be me. Get the fuck out. You threw them out. You told them it's time to go. You walked them to the door. Kate decided at the very last second she was going to ask, Chris, do you want me to stay behind so we could talk? Kate, get the fuck out of here. Threw her ass out. Now, do you have anything you want to say before I go in?
No. Go for it.
That very well may sound very angry and aggressive to you guys. And some of you guys might look at me as an angry person after hearing this. That's very much your opinion, and you're entitled to believe what you want to believe. I'm simply saying I don't have time for excuses. We live in a world with nothing but fucking excuses here. And this is what I mentioned to you guys at the very beginning of this podcast, when I first started doing this show. Not this episode, but the entire show. I'm not here for the fake love and light guru gimmicks. I'm not here to lead people. I'm not here to have a following like I'm Jesus Christ and I have my disciples following behind me. That's not my job here. My job is to bring you, with your permission, back to the person that matters the most, which is you. There was a woman that was on the retreat. Her profession is a big profession. I can't give too much away about this. And she was very respectful towards who I am. And this is not because I like what she had to say and this is ass-licking me here. But she said, your job is not to tell people how to get there. So you're simply the person that says, go to Switzerland. They need to figure out a way to get there on their own. They have to think about that. And I was like, thank you. I'm not your fucking guru. I am not somebody that's going to sit here and tell you what you want to hear. I make no excuses for who I am. But this trip opened my eyes to make me realize I'm not an angry person. I simply do not have the patience for bullshit. And that's the realization that I came to. And again, I don't fuck with those types of people because what they're looking for is to be coddled. They're looking for me to give them an excuse as to why they're miserable. And I'm not going to fucking do that. And again, healing is different for everybody. But let's be truthful here. How much healing, if you've done this for years and years, and it takes the words of one ignorant motherfucker to trigger you back to your five-year-old self? Is that going to say that all the healing that you've done over the years is simply thrown out the window? And that gives you an excuse to lash out?
It doesn't. And I think your biggest issue with it is the cult mentality of it.
That, which is what I preached from the fucking very beginning. And I'm tired, you guys. I am fucking tired of having to preface every show with, this isn't coming from pride and ego. Maybe I need to have a little bit more pride. And maybe I need to think of myself as a little bit bigger here. And not in a conceited type of fucking way, but I have anger towards or impatience towards bullshit. And for those of you that want to fuck with me, that truly want to heal yourselves, let's go. And for those of you that think I'm too hard, that's fine. Then I'm not the person for you. But don't you ever in your motherfucking life tell me that I took your fucking hope away because I didn't tell you what you wanted to fucking hear. That's a you problem. That has nothing to do with me. And because you take direction from another fucking idiot, and I call bullshit on your idiot, that's a you fucking problem. But everybody that I've read, everybody that fucks with me, you can talk to Heather, you can talk to Sarah, you can talk to Jay. These are people that I've worked with in a professional setting here. I'm more experienced in these events than Sarah. This is her event. Never once did I overstep my boundaries and speak over her. Never once did I not go along with her schedule. And let's put this in there real fast. the schedule that was done here was very much like it was in Joshua Tree. It was very back-to-back. Kate led sessions that were 2.5 hours long for yoga that ran into my session and the other idiot session. But he's going to make excuses for her because that's his pal. She didn't give a fuck that it ran into my time. And my people that had appointments with me right after breakfast had to eat within 5 minutes to make their fucking appointment. And I had to tell them, take your time. Don't worry about it. I don't want you rushing to your session. I want you to be relaxed for it. Sarah went up to her and told her, you can't do this. You got to stick on schedule. Do you know that bitch ignored her for 2 fucking days and Sarah ate it? That's a Sarah fucking problem. I'm not Captain Save-A-Ho. Whatever happens between Sarah and Kate is a problem between them. But the minute that you bring it to me, or the minute that it inconveniences me, we're going to have a fucking problem. And she was told on several occasions to keep it going. On the fucking very last day there, before she got it from me, before we sat in that circle and I was talking shit to her, she came up to Sarah yet again, to the very end of it. Sarah, can we change the schedule around because that her boyfriend, me and him want to go do stuff. Is there any way that we can change this? Sarah, yeah, okay, sure. That's a fucking Sarah problem. Sarah then decides to ask me in front of them, Chris, do you have an issue with it? I simply said, you know what? I'm getting really tired of being inconvenienced by the schedules of other people. Make this be the last time. But I get a shitty reception for it. I get looked at as being fucking angry. Didn't ignore Sarah afterward. Didn't give her any shit. She was in charge of the retreat. I was there to be a professional. Worked with Heather. Managed Heather. Overtook that company. Never once did I say that Heather was under me. Always made myself equal to the people that I'm around here. I don't lead you. And I don't want you following me. We walk side by side. Because that's not who the fuck I am. I am not your fucking leader. And I am not Jesus. And I'm not here to take advantage of fucking people. But I have to make excuses because, one, I'm a man. Two, I'm very direct, bold, and tell people like it is. And that comes across angry because I'm hurting people's feelings that they're used to fucking with other people. I'm being told I'm angry. And the most stupidest thing I've ever heard, you're too psychic. You live too much in the psychic world. You're not connected here materially. I lived my life as a material person all the way up until I was 38 years old. I know what it's like to be human. You don't know what it's like to be told that you're full of shit until a bitch like me comes up to you and has to show you. Now, these little fucking cowards decided they were going to fucking team up and thought they were going to put me in my fucking place. That ain't never going to fucking happen. Never. I knew who the fuck you were when I first saw you. But for the sake of being respectful to Sarah, because she looked up to you and she got a real good taste for, I'm not speaking on her behalf here, and she can say whatever she wants to say, she got a real good taste of who you are. When she asked her guides to speed up the process, within 48 hours, everything was exposed. Our last night in town, me, you, and Sarah decided we're going to go blow off some steam, have some cocktails, and have a dinner outside of the retreat and eat good. We ate really well there, mm-hmm. But we wanted to experience the cuisine of the people in that town of Yalapa. Sarah had a breakdown, told me this is too much for her, that all she wants to do is go home and that she can't take it anymore. And I'm not going to kick you while you're down. Last thing I'm going to say is I told you so. But I said, Sarah, what did you expect? This is exactly what I'm talking about on my show. You want me to be inauthentic to who I am for the sake of feelings. When you ask, like I said on my show, be careful what you ask for. If you say you're ready, your guides are going to fucking bring in the lessons, and here comes the devil tiptoeing into your life, getting ready to throw a wrench in your works and see how strong you really are. And because you've known this bitch for 6 years, it's hard for you. But she disrespected you every day of that fucking retreat. In those circles, she spoke over you. People told you to your face, you need to be more of a leader. They found Kate to be disrespectful to you at your own fucking retreat. What more do you need to get it through your fucking head? This is not your fault. Your fault is being too fucking nice. And one could say, how can you be too nice when it leads you to be taken advantage of? That's when you're being too fucking nice. when you're overextending yourself to people that don't really give a shit and that want to turn around and emotionally manipulate you and say, I feel betrayed. Why? Because she's not taking your side? You fucked up. And have the nerve to prey on someone like Sarah that you know struggles with shit like that till the very last second. And then they unfollow her. That's a Sarah problem. Like I keep saying over and over again. My whole lesson with this is be careful what you ask for. Don't puff your chest out and think that you're ready. And the minute that adversity, opposition, or challenge comes in, you cower. Because again, the takeaway for Sarah, this was not your fucking fault. You simply trusted the wrong people. What do you think?
I think it's a powerful message and a powerful lesson for everyone involved. Mm-hmm. Especially for us, we've seen so many things exposed and learned so many things on this retreat. And again, it was a huge learning experience.
Yeah. And I was not going to apologize to anybody afterward.
Mm-hmm.
We had one last circle. Kate was a part of it. So was the astrologer. The boyfriend thought it was a good idea not to be a part of it, which was probably a good idea on his end. The one smart thing that he decided to do the entire time he was there.
The only thing.
The only thing, yeah. And I kept it moving.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just put one last thing out there. When I don't fuck with you, I don't fuck with you. I will never make eye contact with you again. I will never look in your direction. You are simply not there to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we kept it. And I will never, ever, ever have another conversation with those people again. This will be the last time that I speak about them. But this is exactly why I don't do events like this. And I told Sarah, I can't do another event like this. Because this is what I told you. So just really fast here. When she asked, did you know this was going to happen? Yes. Sarah's accused me of saying things about people that were harsh. Mm-hmm. She asked me to read pictures. And she's like, gosh, you know, I'm just simply telling you what they're hiding from or what the issue is here that they need to work through. You're asking me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And if I would have told you what was going to happen, you would have avoided it.
The lesson.
Mm-hmm. And it still would have made me look like I was shit-talking about this person. And I'm not shit-talking. Again, that's your person. That's not mine. I've overextended myself since the last retreat all the way up until this last retreat here. And that's never happening again. What I did wrong was go against my better judgment. What I did wrong was try to play nice with people that I knew were going to take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you're against. You're against people taking advantage of people.
So, are Sarah and I still friends? Absolutely. I have a crazy amount of respect for her. And these lessons are not easy.
Mm-hmm.
But when your guides come in here and show you people for who they are, believe it. I don't know what more else to say on this.
Oh, yeah. Like, you totally feel for her. Like, you, if you don't mind me saying, like, you cried with her, you know?
Jay.
Well, you did, you know, like you look at her like you're, you know, like a little sister, you know, so it's not out of
because
out of
it's
hate.
Painful to watch somebody
get taken advantage of
and look like there's no more hope here,
mm-hmm.
but miss the lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah's an incredible fucking loving person.
Oh, absolutely.
That I think of as a little sister.
Yeah.
And when she cried and she looked beat. My last thing was to do is I told her and I started crying. You fucking open it. I'm going to walk into it. I was mm-hmm. she goes, why are you crying? And I was like, because I hate looking at you and seeing the hurt in your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've taken your hope away, but my only saving grace here is that you're going to see it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't make it any less painful for me.
Yeah.
And this is not making it about me, but don't tell me I'm a fucking angry person.
Mm-hmm.
Because I simply don't want to play your fucking games.
Yeah.
I am the most loyalist person you will ever meet. If you are my friend, there's nothing I would not do for you. I would go above and beyond for you until you do me wrong. And then it's it. That's that. And even then, there's times where you're like, when are you going to cut this loss? I want to make sure I've exhausted all my coupons with you.
And you do.
And you're guilty. You guys believe this or not, Jay is a lot harder than I am when it comes to people. We just had this conversation with your sister last night.
Uh-huh.
He's a lot harder and more gets so irritated with me. And like, why do you waste your fucking time? Because I want to see the goddamn lesson behind it. Even though I know, I still got to be human. I still got to be Chris. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. You hold out the good for people, for sure.
Yeah. I will no longer say this is not coming from a place of pride and ego, and I will no longer say I'm an angry person, because I'm not an angry person. And that's what my guides try to show me, or showed me over this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more clarity. I feel amazing. And this had to happen, not only for my benefit again, to remind myself, you can't do this anymore with these types of people, and you can't try to play the game anymore. You got to go do your own thing. One last time, I'm not saying I'm above them. I'm just cut from a different cloth.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what you guys have to say about this. I want to know what your thoughts are when I talk about the healing. Again, let me put this out there. Your form of healing is just what it is, your form of healing. When you lash out at somebody because it triggers you back to a memory, are you really healing from that problem or using that as an excuse to lash out? That's very punishing to the people that you're doing that to. And I saw a good taste of that while we were there. This person punishing this other person would not sit next to them. Made it a point to let everybody know they were ignoring that other person. Went to the sweat lodge. The person tried to sit next to them. That person said, no, you don't need to sit by me. Go sit over there. That other person, again, ate my pig, ate my farm, sat there and took it. All because, well, she's an emotional person. She's been through a lot. Does not give her the right to treat you like shit. It doesn't. Like I've said before, your process is your process. I'm simply here for those that want to evolve and truly want to evolve. If you want to evolve and grow, I'm not saying that I'm going to take that I will not guide and or mentor. Guide is such a horrible word to use. That I will not assist those that are a little bit lower end of the spectrum when it comes to evolving. As long as you're moving and as long as you're willing to acknowledge the truth, your truth, all your inadequacies, and even the good parts of you here, and you're ready to be honest, those are the people that I want to fuck with. Not the ones that are looking to be coddled and for me to make an excuse for their shitty fucking behavior. We're just on two different roads here. You go do you. That works best for you. It doesn't work so well for me. I don't know how more eloquent I could say that, or how...
You're just keeping it real, you know, and you're not, like, you're not coddling people, and you're not telling people what they want to hear, that it's okay to be miserable. It's okay to feel this way. It's okay to sit in your spot. Let's act on it instead of talking about it.
And let's not use excuses anymore. Mm-hmm. Let's not put Band-Aids on wounds. At some point in time, what I've always been preaching is you're going to have to take ownership of your life. You're going to have to come to the realization. And maybe this lifetime isn't the lifetime that you do it, but all those realizations come up no matter what. You simply choose not to look at them that way. And that is fine. That works for you. It does not work for me, and that I am definitely not somebody you want to get involved with. Simple. Again, I don't know what else to say about it.
I think you said enough.
I'm open to hearing what you have to say out there. I want to know what your thoughts are about this. The only reason why I'm mentioning people by name is because you guys already know who was part of this event. And there's going to be people out there that are going to obviously speak their truth. They're more than welcome to. But I was there. And you weren't a part of it. And again, if you had an issue with me, we're all fucking adults. At any given point in time, you could have came up to me and asked me. You chose to keep your fucking mouth shut. So I advise you to keep doing it. Because to me, you should have said what you had to say there. You chose not to.
Yeah.
I made it be known that I'm willing to take questions while we were there.
You overextended yourself there, for sure.
Yeah, no more. That ain't never happening again. And I told Sarah... Again, I'm going to wrap this up here, but I told Sarah, no more retreats like that. I'm a solo act.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to have other people do it, I want nothing to do with them. Not in a negative way here, but have time slots here. We're not going to do retreats like that. Maybe events like that where they know when their person's going to be on. My people know when I'm going to be on. And we keep it moving that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not doing it. I'm not above anybody. I just simply, I'm above the bullshit. And that's where we're going to leave it. So, Transformation 2020, Jalapa, Mexico, to me was a very eye-opening time. Brought a lot of clarity, a lot of insight in, especially between you and I. I don't have anything negative to say about it. I would never take the experience back.
Mm-hmm.
Even the bullshit, it had to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it just opened my eyes to myself. And again, yes, I have my quirks. I have my flaws. Yes, I'm afraid of water taxis. Yes, I'm afraid of Mexico at times. Yes, I can be a little bit bougie when it comes to who I am. That's my character. And I shouldn't be ashamed of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're at. So for those of you wanting insight, want a true psychic reading from somebody that's going to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear, for those of you that are ready to listen, hit me up. Sign up for a half-hour session, chrismedina.guide. Again, for those that are really, honestly, truly considering evolving their soul, evolving their person, their being, in an honest, authentic way, with no fucking love and light gimmicks, no guru mentality. I'm not here to lead you. I am not your go-to person. You are your go-to person. You are the one that you should be following. Lead yourself. I am simply showing you the possibilities. You take it from there. Sign up for a half-hour session, chrismedina.guide. For those of you that want to see my real ass, that want to see who I am as a person, this fucking vegetarian food that I've been eating, haven't eaten meat since we've been back, want to know who I'm hanging out with, who I'm being direct with, who my crew is, feel free to follow me on social media at Psychic Chris M. Again, that's at Psychic Chris M. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Take a look at me. See if I'm somebody that you want to fuck with or that you vibe with. Because realization set in, I am not for everyone and I don't want to be for everyone. And I posted something very similar to that when we got back. You are not for everyone and everyone is not for you.
It's true.
Find a vibe that you can ride for a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For those of you that have questions about Transformation 2020, about this episode, want to know more behind the scenes stuff, we're going to do a YouTube episode for In Your Head Podcast coming up real soon here, where you get to see my facial expressions here, because maybe I'm not getting my point across with just my voice and you guys need to see it. I'm going to do something really good like that coming up really soon, maybe the next episode, but I had to get this out. I had to speak it. And again, last time I'm going to say it, this is not coming from a place of pride, ego, anger, frustration, or hate here. This is simply me, Chris Medina. You guys want to know more about that? Again, hit me up, askinyourhead@gmail.com. Want to know more about Yalapa? You have show ideas? You want to be read? You have questions just about maybe the healing thing and tell me your side of it. Again, not taking away what you're doing here. I just want you to be honest about what you're doing and not making excuses for it. askinyourhead@gmail.com. Do you have anything you want to say before we go?
No, I thought you put it perfectly.
Well, you guys, I hope you fuck with this episode. I hope this resonates. I hope that it opens your eyes to who I really am and what I came here to do. And I hope that you fuck with it. And hope is such a horrible word to use, because I really want to say I want you to.
Mm-hmm.
That's up to you. So this is Chris Medina, the ever direct, the ever so honest, the ever so psychic, with my boy Jay saying we are out.
Bye.